In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want to talk on the first of those two readings, Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48. And it's really hard for us to get the measure of how unusual, how revolutionary a kind of thing this was, because Peter was a Jew. And like all Jews of his day and age, he had been brought up to understand that the Jews were God's chosen race, and that there was only one way to God, and a person had to become a Jew to come to God. But here, he had actually been preaching to a group of Gentiles, people who were not Jews. And as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And it wasn't up to his imagination. You know, this was not some secret kind of sensing that this was happening. They started speaking in tongues and speaking out and praising God, exactly in the same way as Peter and the other apostles had done on the day of Pentecost. So he knew what this was. This was the Holy Spirit had come, but it was on Gentiles, people who were not Jews. How can this be? This is a contradiction in terms. But Peter was always this man of action, who when he saw something from God, he acted on it, and he said, right, water to baptize them, they're baptized. So here are the first people who are not Jews baptized as Christians, and they're not Jews. Well, that was huge. And so what we have now is a community, the first community of Christian believers who are not Jews. This is the beginning now of the church as a community of believers that is just huge. Over the following days and months and years, this all develops until finally we reach a point where St. Paul writes, you know, in Galatians, the letter he wrote to a Christian church in Galatia, and it's in chapter 3 and verse 28, he says this, you know, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, and actually there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So this is an amazing thing, that the family of God comprises people of all different kinds and categories who are all one, all on the same level, all brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, what was the defining point? What was it that made them this? This community was established as God's community of faith by the Holy Spirit coming on them and being active in them. They were people of the Spirit of Jesus, chosen to live out and to declare the goodness and the life of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. And so that is what you and I are called to be, people of the Spirit of Jesus, who show in our lives the life of Jesus and the character of Jesus, and people who, as the Spirit guides us, will tell others about Jesus. And if we were to ask ourselves, well, if you and I, if we are the community, or the whanau, or the family of the Spirit of Jesus here in Karori, what might we expect to see, and what might Jesus be expecting us to do and to be? And later in this service, so at the other one, I was speaking after James. Here I'm speaking before James. So James is going to speak. We're going to see a bit later a video clip where the Archbishop of Canterbury is promoting something throughout the Anglican Communion and beyond, the idea of thy kingdom come. And so the idea behind it, they're trying to make as relevant to the church of today what it was once upon a time, these ideas of Ascension Day and Pentecost. And they're saying we should, as a church, make an absolute point of praying for at least 5 people to come to faith during these 11 days. And so on Ascension Day, this is the day when Jesus went back to heaven to be with his Father in heaven. So he ceased, from our perspective, he ceased his ministry here on earth on Ascension Day. And then counting Ascension Day and going through to Pentecost, there are 11 days, you see, and on Pentecost was the coming of the Holy Spirit down on people. And so whereas before the Holy Spirit kind of came to help a person do a particular task at a particular time on the day of Pentecost, a new thing happened. Whereas before, you know, Jesus had been there, and Jesus was the focus of God's presence on earth while he was alive. He was, in fact, the temple of God. But now a new thing is happening. Jesus has gone away. He's no longer here on earth. So Jesus is not the temple of God on earth. But the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside Christian believers so that collectively we are the temple of God. And so here today, this morning, we are the temple of God, the locus of God's presence on earth in this particular place. And so during these days, this transition, this idea that we should pray for others to come to know Jesus as our very best friend who understands us. So not sure about you, but sometimes, you know, the way people talk to you, sometimes even people who are close to you and you thought they might have understood you feel they don't understand me. No one understands me, really. But actually, Jesus understands us. He is our very best friend. And he calls us to walk with him. He calls us to learn to be like him. He calls us to do the kinds of things he did. But I want to say now that being a Christian is not only about us praying for other people to come to faith. That being a Christian is about you and me being little Jesuses, as it were. So just like Jesus was full of the Spirit of God, we are called to be full of the Spirit of God, little Jesuses. People who, like Jesus himself, will praise God. People like Jesus himself who will do the good things that the Spirit guides us to do. Things that Jesus would have done if he had been in our shoes. So obviously when Jesus was alive, he was in his own shoes. We don't do those things, those were him. But if Jesus were in our shoes, what would he do? And so you and I have to do those things that you and I, we still have to do, whatever it is we do in the world. For some people, they go to school. For some people, they've got to earn a living. For some people, their focus is on the parenting of their children. Whatever it is, we all have to do things in this world. And so the challenge for you and me, as people of the Spirit of God, is to do those things as Jesus would have done them, following the prompting of the Spirit, but also being given the energy that we need to do those things by the Spirit of Jesus. So it is not like that Jesus cracks his whip and says, more, do this, do that. It is like the Spirit of Jesus guides us, but also helps us and actually enables us to do the things he wants us to do. And so just as Jesus did himself, you wonder how on earth did Jesus keep going, that he hears John the Baptist is dead. And so he goes up to a mountain to pray, and he prays there all night, and the next day he comes down. And here is a crowd just waiting for him. He preaches to that crowd all day long, and they haven't got any food, and they need food. So he does this huge miracle, feeding the 5,000. That where did the energy to do all that? Stayed up all night? Preach to a crowd of 5,000 all day long, then do this. Where did the energy come from? Well, as we obey Jesus, I think, the idea is energy flows into us, not so that we feel like Superman, full of power, zap. It's not we feel as if we are full of energy. It is just that actually, as we do the things that God wants us to do, somehow we have enough energy to keep going until that thing has ended. He fills us with the energy that we need to do the things he asks us to do. However, some problems do arise for us if we put in a lot of effort into following Jesus. What kind of problems might we come into? Well, as time goes on, you get to know the things Jesus said, but you also notice there is a gap between what Jesus said and how you live. And so the problem that this raises for us when we talk to others, do we talk to them about Jesus to the level we are at? Which means we're toning down what he says. We're saying less than what he says. Or do we talk about Jesus in a way that is not actually true of the life we ourselves are living? So do we water the message down so it's no longer the amazing thing Jesus taught? Or do we run the risk of being hypocrites by talking out and speaking at a level that we ourselves are not living? Well, for myself, it's really, really clear what to do. We are called to say the message as Jesus gave it, which is beyond what actually we are living ourselves. But we have to be really acutely aware that we ourselves are weak, we are sinners, we fall short. And so this is what Jesus said, you know, that it's not necessarily where I'm at exactly myself, but this is what Jesus said, what he calls us to do. And as we go on, I think he wants us to let others know that we are sinners. Otherwise, they live with a false message, don't we? That at some point you reach that level where you are the genuine Christian and you don't really sin. When actually the truth is that we all sin in many ways, we fall short in many ways, but we are still called to tell others about the Jesus who was not a sinner. Well, there is another kind of problem that crops up for us as we try to follow Jesus. And so, for example, kind of problem where Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Our Father in heaven. But just suppose you were a person who had a horrible father. It's going to be rather difficult for you to pray very well and very meaningfully and very helpfully if every time you pray to God you have a message in your mind of someone who used to beat you up. You're not going to feel close to God at all. So what are we supposed to do? And the Bible is, God himself is so complex, you know. God is not just a simple single thing that you can say, this is God. It's not like that. God is so complex that the Bible uses actually a huge variety of different ways to describe God. And so in the week before he died, Jesus said, you know, and this is recorded in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, he said, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how often have I longed to gather your children together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? So this doesn't sound like a father, does it? It sounds like a mother. And it may help some of us to think of God as being a bit like a hen who protects her chicks. And we need to think of God in the ways that most help us follow Jesus as well as possible. There was a time when a woman spoke to me and confided in me, and she said, you know, I know as Christians, we are supposed to forgive people who have hurt us. But you know, when I was growing up, my stepfather repeatedly raped me. And surely God does not expect me to forgive him. Well, I think that every one of us here probably has some kind of bad experience in our lives that makes it a bit hard for us to do what Jesus said we are to do in that aspect of our lives. And so I think we are wise, sensible to recognize our weaknesses, not beat ourselves up for our weaknesses. But I also think it is a huge mistake for us to underestimate what the Spirit of Jesus is able to do inside us. And so that same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is able to do in us far more than actually we can ever ask. And so for me, as I grapple with my many weaknesses of character, the issue is not how good I am, but how much do I really want Jesus to help me be like what he is? And whenever I talk to God and to myself in this kind of way, I find that surprises happen, that things I thought I could not do, somehow they're happening. That a person I thought I could never agree with, somehow I find I'm agreeing with. A person that I never thought I would be able to talk to Jesus about, somehow I find I'm in a conversation with them about Jesus. So I find it helps me to be fully aware of my own weakness, because the greater my weakness, the harder I need to pray to Jesus to help me. And the harder I pray to Jesus to help me, the more he does help me. And so there's the challenge then that I see in this reading from Acts chapter 10. It's for us to know the Spirit of Jesus in us, to live out the life of the Spirit of Jesus alongside our Christian brothers and sisters here and our family of God, the whānau of Jesus, and for God then to bless us in what we do. So I'm going to pray. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that you are not some kind of academic tower, ivory tower theologian who gave out wonderful expressions and thoughts for us to marvel at and think how beautiful those are, but actually who lived the life, often with pain, but always full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Pray that you will fill each of us with your Spirit to prompt us to do those things you want us to do and to bring glory to you. Amen.